What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I think my battery's dead.
With free battery testing and charging, we can help you get back on the road.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
So what if I need a new one?
We have the right Duralast battery for you. Only at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
And what about my old battery?
We can recycle it right here at America's number one battery destination.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
I got this feeling that I've been here before. I got this feeling that I've been here before.
Oh, hello and welcome to We Knows Parenting. I'm Peter McNerney.
Hello, I'm Beth Newell.
And oh boy, at it again. Episode 51. We've almost done this for a year. I just realized now. I think May 15th.
We should buy ourselves a cake.
Let's buy ourselves a cake and eat it alone at night after our kids go to sleep.
I don't know. I mean, the funnest part of having a cake is you see kids see the cake.
There's nothing good about a cake. Well, no,
there's nothing good. You always like to talk about everything in absolutisms, and then it kind of bites you in the ass.
Yeah.
When you're...
There's just literally nothing worse than cake. Was that hyperbolic? No, I like cake. I like cake just fine, but I always eat a lot of it, and I'm like, I didn't like it that much, and now I feel sick.
Can I say, while we're on the topic, I, at the grocery store the other day, bought these frozen yogurt bars that I was like, oh, these are a good kid size, because we've been out with our family, and our kids have been every time we go to a place to get like a kiddie cone, they give our kids the most ginormous amount of ice cream.
There's always too much ice cream.
And it always just, to me, it's not that I'm like, I don't want them to eat it. I just feel like it's a stomach ache, like in the making. And so anyway, I saw these frozen yogurt bars. They seemed like a good size. They were colorful. I was like, our kids are going to love these. It's a good dupe for ice cream. They'll think they're having a real treat, but it's like a little healthier. And then...
You bought them for your kids?
Yeah, I bought them for our kids. As you know, they're kind of, you know, colorful, shiny kid food. And it's been a couple days. We haven't given our kids any, but there are four missing.
I have no idea where this is going.
There's four missing from the box.
Okay, you know what happens when you eat a frozen yogurt bar with sprinkles in it that are fine?
That's
they're not
meant
delicious.
For people a quarter of your size.
Then you get a Girl Scout cookie and you put it on the ice cream bar and take a bite and you're like, this is effing perfect. You know what happens? You eat four of them. That's what happens. Did I say effing?
It's just, I think what's weird to me about it is, from my adult perspective, it's not a very tasty treat. It's more just like, it looks like it's going to be good. And it's
not very good, but the Girl Scout cookie with
so
it is perfect.
For me, as a consumer, that's like, on a scale of 1 to 10, that's like a 2. But to my kids, it's like a 10.
Yes.
So why would I take 4 10s away from my kids so that I can have...
Because I don't give our kids treats. I don't do it. And they don't expect it from me. They don't expect me to give them things, and I get less of a hassle.
I just wish I could spend a day walking through the world with this level of entitlement to other people's tens.
No, it's not entitlement. It's conviction. So I've done a full, more than a week of the new no TV on school days rule. and it is great.
It's not 100% true.
Well, I know that you don't follow my rules, but
well, the thing is,
you're
like,
only in charge of them one of those days.
When I'm watching them, there's a lot of different factors at play. The way they whine at me is different, but another factor is like the one night, the two or three nights I'm home out of the week, I will be like, oh, these kids are filthy and their fingernails need to be clipped and this needs to happen. And I'm like doing stuff like that. And then in order to either bribe them or get that done in an efficient manner, I end up being like, okay, you can watch like 20 minutes of TV if you do this. And that's what happens.
You know what? I'm not judging you. I mean, at worst, I'm feeling really self-righteous about my own abilities to to say no to them in a way that makes them, that's healthy. But I'm not going to tell you how to do your routine.
And well,
you can't watch, let them watch
TV. I understand that the level of balance is somewhere in the middle of the two of us in terms of discipline.
No, I'm perfect.
And you sometimes are more able to lay down the law in ways that I should work towards. But also, like, for example, when they have friends over and they're explaining, like, the rules and they say the things, like, daddy doesn't like, it does feel like sometimes you as a dad pick arbitrary battles to wage.
I think that I've been more guilty of that in the past because I have you on my shoulder going, why are you deciding this is a thing? So I'm trying to, I've eased up on that.
Okay, but, well, we've talked about that. Anyway, let's talk about our weekend.
Oh, yeah.
We
saw some dinosaurs.
My parents wanted to meet up. Our schedule's been kind of insane. We decided to meet them halfway. They're coming from Massachusetts. We met them in Connecticut.
It was
at
very cool.
This place called The Dinosaur Place.
Is that literally what it's called?
I think it's called The Dinosaur Place at Nature's Art Village. And I don't understand what Nature's Art Village is or what was happening.
I think all those little attractions were all one thing.
Yeah, it seems like someone bought up a lot of land and made a lot of little attractions in this place where it's nice, but I think if you were to hit them all up, you would be like, wow, I can't believe I just spent $500 on that, you know?
Yeah, you pay admissions to each one.
But the dinosaur place was fun. They have all of these like dinosaur sculptures that are huge, and you get to wander around. And the part of it that's nice for me is it's kind of like when you're at the zoo where it's just nice to be somewhere outdoors where your kids can look at stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the fact that you're just outdoors in a fairly contained, safe environment, that's a win for me as a parent.
It seemed like it all seemed very new, freshly made.
Yeah. They had a fake volcano that went off that scared our children. And then
Maven was very concerned.
And then we found there was a cave where they had a animatronic dinosaur, which they had kind of warned us about in advance. And so there's a sign that says small children might be scared. So we made
it
Maven.
It says small children might be extremely scared.
So we made Maven wait outside while we went in, and it was so scary. You just walk in this little cave, and it was one of those dinosaurs.
It's the spitter dinosaur
from Jurassic Park that spits in Newman's eyes. It was like it just lunged out at us, and then it was spraying water.
So you go in, and it's pitch black, and as your eyes adjust, you see like a cage.
You see.
And then suddenly the head moves up and its fins go.
That freaky little dinosaur.
And you're like, oh shit. And then it spits at you and you're like, ah. And by the way, leaving Maven outside just meant we didn't let her turn a corner. we didn't like leave her outside of a building by herself.
Yeah. But.
Yeah, the volcano goes off once an hour. And I told Brynn, I was like, you want to go see the volcano? It's going to go off. And he goes, I don't want to see the volcano. And I was like, why? Are you scared? He goes, yeah. It wasn't until I said, there's not real lava. And he goes, oh, okay. I'll see the volcano then.
It's really funny that's what he was picturing in his head. He's like, I mean, it doesn't seem safe that we're just next to a volcano.
He's a smart kid. He understands what a volcano
is. But then
is.
Even when it was happening, him and Maven were terrified. They don't like noises. Like, they don't like any kind of loud noise.
I think I read that there's two fears that children are born born with, that's innate in their being, and it's falling and loud noises and the movement of a snake.
The movements.
One to three of those things is not true. Somebody Google it.
Oh, I think things like snakes and spiders, like if you catch that kind of movement out of the corner of your eye, you're very like genetically wired to,
it's like,
to startle.
It's a deep part of your lizard brain.
Yeah.
It's in there.
As it should be.
It should be. You should be afraid of snakes.
Get away from me.
So, oh, and I tell you what, Bryn's obsessed with worms.
Yeah.
You know, it's been rainy, and so the worms come out onto the sidewalk, and we come out, and some of them dry up, and so we've been really talking about, we've been talking about death a lot, and also how worms work. And so he's really into saving the worms.
Yeah.
One day we went out there and he's
our kids are really fascinated by death more and more lately.
We're going to talk about this later in the episode. But I was like, yo, why don't you put him back in the dirt and save him? He goes, yeah, okay. And he reaches for it. And once it wiggled, he went, aah! And I ended up throwing the worm in the dirt. So today he did it. He picked up a worm. And as he flinched again, and I said, it can't hurt you. It's just going to wiggle. And he goes, okay. And he picked it up, and then as it was dangling, he looked at me, and he held up the worm like he had just discovered a new superpower. He's like, ah! And then he flung it, and it got caught in the tree. And he was like, oh, no! And then he was trying to flick the branch of the tree to get the worm off, but he didn't want to touch the worm again.
Oh, boy.
I saved the worm again.
What a hero.
I'm such a hero. Oh, you know what we should talk about?
The royal baby?
The royal baby?
What should we talk about?
Well, is there a royal baby?
There's a new royal baby. Meghan Markle and Prince Harry had a baby.
They did?
Here's what's
sort
of cool about it. They haven't said the name yet.
Oh.
It's there's a video of Prince Harry talking about the baby being born. And he does sort of a pretty stereotypical thing, which he's just like, wow, women are amazing. Like, I can't believe my wife. Like, sort of that, which is like both heartening to hear as a woman. And also, like, you're like, why do men not realize women are strong until they literally see us squeeze a baby out of our vagina?
I think he was saying what he was supposed to say. If I'm in his mind.
No, he looked pretty inspired. I believe he felt it. He seemed like very overjoyed to be a dad. And I mean, yes, it's the press. He's giving them what they want. He's not going to be like, ugh, you know. But
you know, Meghan Markle went to Northwestern with a bunch of my classmates. Anyway,
I was hoping you'd have a talking point that brings it back to you.
That's what I do. Keep going.
Anyway, that's all I have to say.
Royal baby. That was not what I was bringing up, but I'm glad I know that. Bryn had his final skating lesson. And so he took skating, and he was the smallest one in the class. And he has a hard time paying attention, as we've talked about.
Because much like you, he would rather be waving at the stands.
So his game became every time he'd get to the end, he'd turn around and look at me. And then he'd give it like a closed mouth smile and just a thumbs up. And then he'd hold the thumbs up.
He does that sometimes.
Until I give him a thumbs up back.
He does that a lot where he does a big closed mouth smile and squints his eyes like he's like, you think I'm cute.
I mean, he's not wrong. But he gave me, no joke, 30 thumbs up. And he was listening to his teacher 0%. So I had to leave. I had to like go sit on a bench so he couldn't see me.
That makes sense.
So at the end, they gave him a ribbon. He completed tot one, and he advanced to level advanced tot one, which I think is their way of saying you should still be in tot one.
Yeah, a kinder way. It's really just them being like, we have a lot of kids here. They're all not great at skating. We're just going to herd them into groups.
I mean, the whole point is just put them on the ice. He can march. He's better. He can march faster. He can't really glide. But then he said to me, he goes, I do not. He's done with skating. And I'm like, well, you can just go skating with me. He goes, no, I don't want to skate. And I didn't want to push it because I, you know, wanted to skate.
The thing is, he needs peer pressure. So I think maybe Christmas or whenever we see your family skating, then he'll be like, oh, I need to be like that.
Oh, yeah. But he does want to do soccer now. I told him, do you want to do soccer? He goes, I could take soccer lessons? And he loves soccer, which was the sport that my brothers and I would shit on growing up.
Do you remember when you and him came in last week and you had been playing with our neighbor boy outside and he said, we were playing football. And you were like, no, it wasn't football.
It was baseball.
It was baseball. That I kind of love that that's his level of understanding of sports.
Well, his buddy from pre-K was out on the playground and they live in the same building. And this kid is, he can play catch. And he's got his mitt and he catches it and he's good at batting.
And his dad is so cool. His dad is always hanging out with him and teaching him how to throw a ball.
Yeah, but Bryn can do an improv scene like nobody's business. And Bryn got to bat. He goes, you want to bat? And he goes, and he struck out immediately. And his timing was very bad. And he got frustrated quickly and quit forever.
Yeah, I mean, we probably should get him into sports, if only for trying to build some patience in him.
Yeah. I mean, skating, he's last place, but doesn't realize that's a thing. He's content. He likes it.
Yeah.
He'll do more skating, even if it kills me. Did I say that out loud?
This next segment's called Did You Knows? It's where we share some parenting information we found on the internet.
Yeah! All right, are you ready for some real brief stuff that I found? And I deleted wherever it came from. So I'm going
to... So if you want to look into it more, sorry, you can't.
This was somewhere or something. This was about death. And I've been talking... Not the heavy side of death, but the rudimentary, like, basic understanding of death for kids. And I just want to read the first snippet of this article because I think this is where Bryn is right now and maybe in a little
bit. Okay, read to us from the article. We don't know what the article is.
Yes, uncredited. What do they understand about death at four? Which Bryn is. Bryn is four. There are four sub-concepts of death that psychologists have identified. Non-functionality, your body doesn't work anymore. Universality, all living things die. Irreversibility, once you die, you can't come back to life. And inevitability, you can't avoid death. Though kids pick up these concepts at different ages, depending on their cognitive abilities and their life experiences, at four, the subconcept they tend to understand first is non-functionality. Because it's straightforward, many preschoolers can understand that when you're dead, your arms and legs don't move anymore and your heart stops beating. We're all going to die is something that's a bit harder for a four-year-old or, let's be honest, a 37-year-old to fully internalize. But typically, many kids will understand all four subconcepts somewhere in the 7 to 10 age range. There's a lot more to this article that goes into those other subconcepts. But it really spoke to me as to where Bryn is right now. Because Bryn may even love to play dead and to like talk about things being dead.
Yeah, they're really into it. They had a play date yesterday and them and their friend kept trying to like murder me and the other mom. And her son was like, I'm going to slice you with my laser. And his mom was like, ugh. But it's just, they're just at this age where they're like really trying to figure out what that means.
Yeah. And I pick my battles with those things where Bryn's like, if he ever, he doesn't do much of that. But if it is that like, I'm going to kill you, you're going to be dead. You know, I don't play into that. I'm like, oh, that's scary. Oh, I don't like that. I don't get stern and serious, but I sort of do take the fun out of it a little bit. Then there's other times.
I feel like I just play dead.
Well, there's other times when they're like, he's dead. I'm like, I'd leave it alone. That's fine.
It reminds me of, do you remember when we were on our honeymoon and there was a little boy in a restaurant shooting at us from across the restaurant with a gun? He was shooting at everyone in the restaurant.
Killarney.
And then we started playing dead and his dad was looking at him like confused as to why he seemed like so excited about shooting, and then his dad like realized what we were doing and started laughing.
That was a nice connection with strangers.
That was nice. I don't know if we would have done that if we weren't in a foreign country and we weren't like, eh.
Well, would we do that differently now that we're parents? Because when I was younger, like a little random boy is pretending to shoot me, I'd be like, bah!
Yeah, I don't know.
But I don't know.
I'm always kind of like in those situations, kind of checking in with the parent to gauge their mood and like how ready they might be for someone to interact with their kid.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, I don't love guns. My mom, growing up, would always say like, I don't like guns. 'Cause we'd always grab things and turn them into a gun. And I was like, Mom, I know we don't really like guns. We're just playing. She wouldn't even like buy us Super Soakers. But I've turned into that parent. I've taken on that role when like Bryn picks things up and tries to shoot things. I'm like, I don't like it.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying not to like stigmatize it too much because I don't want to build resistance around it. Like, I don't want him to be like, here's the cool thing I don't want you to do. Like, but I don't like seek out like gun heavy shows for him or try to get him to watch violent stuff. Like, but when he's occasionally exploring that, I don't know. I don't want to like come down too hard on
like
it.
I'm not going to buy him any toy gun stuff, but when he always finds things to shoot, I'm like, I'm not going to.
Yeah, he has a couple of toys that like shoot water, like a fire truck and stuff. And it is like, I think that's like fulfilling his like boyhood need of like manipulating things, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
he feels powerful.
He's gonna find that stuff. I mean, I did that when I was little. I'd find a big stick and it would be a rifle. Yeah, I don't know if I want to get into it. Should I get into my history of guns?
I think we've already talked about it, haven't we?
Have we? All right, here's the short of it. We're going to get into it. So there was this we're going to get heavy real quick. There was a school shooting at my school when I was in kindergarten, and then an insane woman came in and shot a bunch of kids, and she went on this insane rampage all day. And miraculously, only one person died, which was the only good part of it,
Is like pre-Columbine.
This is in 1988.
This is like maybe the first school shooting.
Right. So I saw some crazy things, and the town was very obviously much affected by it, as my older brother and I were in this school. And my mom, despite that, like that happened to me. And at the time, you're a kid, like I wasn't traumatized by it.
You were too young to really understand what was happening.
I saw terrifying things, and I experienced that. But you are like at a certain age, and I mean, I don't want to get into the psychology of it. You like you're designed to deal with a certain amount of things. So I was fine, but obviously my mom's relationships to guns was rightfully she was not a fan. And
I mean, nothing is more terrifying as a parent, I think. And I think it's really what's crazy to me now is that we have this kind of thing happening like across the country everywhere all the time, like, and when people have these fears now of something like this happening to their kid, it's not an insane fear. Like, you don't know who's going to get a hold of a gun because the gun laws are very bad.
But the point of bringing it up is that, you know, as a kid, even though that happened, I still was like a little boy who, you know, within the next year I'm like, oh, it's a stick, I got a gun, I'm playing, like this is the TV that I'm seeing. And it's like none of that was crossing my mind. But now that I'm an adult and I see my child like pick up a thing and it's a gun, suddenly all of that stuff that happened when I was 6 years old like really gets me. And then I'm like, you put that down. And then I get it, my like the whole thing. Now I'm really intense about it, but I didn't care at the time. So anyway, that fun turn.
Anyway,
I try to keep it light. I know, like they're having fun with the concept, and it's like Bryn's gonna start to understand a bit more of it. Like today,
I think they should know about death. Like, it's not.
We did talk about it today because he's really obsessed now with. I told him that I explained how muscles move the bones, and that like how everything works, and he's like, what happens to your muscles when you die? And then I explained that like you fall apart, like some people get put in the ground and you fall apart until you're just bones.
You're always giving him the most disturbing graphic images.
Yeah, but I still haven't seen him like connect with it in a way that where he's overwhelmed or scary. It's still just fascinating.
They're also our kids are obsessed with Halloween YouTube videos, no matter what time of year it is, and they were watching one the other day that is. It's like a song, maybe in Spanish, I can't remember, but it's like how to build a zombie or something. And it's like, it's actually kind of an interesting like anatomical lesson because this like cartoon sing song thing is like, first you get the bones, then you get the heart. But they were watching it during their play date. And so this kid who is Bryn's friend is not usually here and he's watching it like horrified. I don't know if we're like traumatizing him because our kids love to watch like brains get put into a skeleton.
He's
head.
Got a toy in his house that's all like the layers of skin and organs and
and
veins
his mom is a pathologist, so I was like, she'll probably appreciate this.
Yeah.
So anyway.
They're fine.
They're fine. our kids are fine.
It's fine. You know what? So I'm letting them play with the concept of death and to have fun with it as best I can. Is that right? I don't know. Clinkety clank.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I think my battery's dead.
With free battery testing and charging, we can help you get back on the road.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
So what if I need a new one?
We have the right Duralast battery for you. Only at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
And what about my old battery?
We can recycle it right here at America's number one battery destination.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula. Berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This next segment is called Would You Knows. It's where we ask each other hypothetical parenting situations.
Okay, so I got a couple of Would You Knows. And Beth, you're going to love these because they're less insane than some of our more recent ones.
I don't dislike insane hypotheticals. I just dislike when there's a lack of clarity.
I think the ones that have too much detail, you also zone out. Anyway, you'll like these. Unless you don't.
Like good writing.
Hello. I recently started listening to your podcast. I just want to say I love it. A single mom with a little boy who will be 2 in a little over a week, it's definitely a relief to hear that I'm not the only one. To be honest, most of the time, don't know what I'm doing. Anyway, here's a would you knows. This one's for Peter. Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't remember that. This one's just for me, I guess. One morning you wake up to Bryn face to face with you, and his face is covered in permanent marker. Not just scribbled on, but completely covered. Upon getting up to deal with this, you find Maven with a strip shaved down the middle of her hair. This is a very close shave. As you pass the mirror, it only gets worse. As you somehow didn't notice, Maven's missing hair is super glued to your head. It then occurs to you that you...
I love when people write these like a Michael Keaton movie. Like, it's like, and then this happened. Go ahead.
It then occurs to you that you have a professional family photos to do in a couple of hours. The session is expensive and you've already paid a good sum of money to hold the spot. And this is non-refundable. Thanks for your awesome show, Angela. I don't know why this one's just for me, but I'll answer it first.
Oh,
but
I'd
love to hear what you have to say. I guess, well, one, I'm curious as to where the hell you are.
What's the class what are you supposed to go to? A session?
It's a family photo session.
Oh, okay.
We're taking family
the
portraits
stakes
today.
Just keep getting higher.
I 100% take the pictures as is.
This is a real sitcom dad thing. It's like, I'm like running around at work and I'm like, Peter, if you don't get the kids on time to this family photo session,
it's going to be
fine.
I don't
know what I'm going to do.
Beth, it's going to be fine.
Peter, you know I care about photos. That's a big part of my personality.
Why won't you just trust me? I'm an adult.
Because you always screw up. Do you remember cut to 1 year ago family photo session?
Oh, hey, no. What are we doing in this swamp? We took a wrong turn.
He'll be here any minute, I swear. I told my husband this is non-refundable.
Get all that swamp muck off your dress, Maven. Oh, push the van, Maven. Push.
And remember, 2 years ago? Cut to 2 years ago.
Oh, my gosh. Please, let us off of your spaceship. We got to get to a family photo. Clip, clop, clip, clop.
Sir, please. I promise. My husband is a good man, and I just swear this is the year I'll get a good picture of my family, who I love, the way they look exactly right now.
Bryn, catch this taser. Shoot. Pew, pew, pew. Run. Escape pod. Oh, we're going to the wrong planet. Oh, no.
Peter, why are you wearing a silver baseball hat?
Don't even get me started.
Well, there goes our deposit. That family gets to take our spot now. That's the rules.
Morgensteins.
So I think we answered her question.
I would definitely... take the photos as... What an insane thing for them to do. I want to remember it.
Yeah, it would probably be a great photo.
That's perfect. You'd look like a real weirdo not looking like a freak. Sorry, I'm chewing ice on the microphone. That's bad.
You'd look like a real weirdo. I would not look like a freak.
I'll tell you what. I don't know. All right, here's another one. Hey, Beth and Peter. I've been a listener since the very beginning, and I am glad... to have your podcast in my normal weekly rotation. Keep up the good work. I have a would you knows hypothetical for you guys. That's not really hypothetical for my family. I have two sons, 2 years old and 9 weeks old. Oh boy. So stop texting me, person, while I'm reading off my phone. They were both born on the same day. 2 years apart, obviously. This was not planned, by the way. It just serendipitously happened that way. My hypothetical to you is this. If your children had the same birthday and weren't twins, how would you handle birthdays? Would you each have their own birthday party? Would you celebrate each child on separate days? How do you ensure each child receives the level of attention they deserve? How much special recognition does a child really need on their birthday? And how does your response change if the age gap were larger or as the children get older? Thanks, guys. Sarah.
So we actually know someone, Jess Eason, formerly Jess Allen. I think both of her boys were born on the same day.
Really?
I'm pretty sure. I could be making that up, but it happens. I think shared birthdays in families happens more often than is normal. because
than
like
statistically normal.
Like your dad and I have a shared birthday. Our sister-in-law has a shared birthday with Bryn.
My cousin just had a baby on Maven's birthday.
Your mom and her twin brother have the same birthday as his wife.
That's a crazy
like,
one.
I think that there's more, like, I mean, as we've talked about on this podcast, I think there's more meaning to our lives than is noticeable with the naked eye.
I'd say statistically there's only 365 days in a year.
Well, anyway, but the Psychic Teachers podcast that I've been listening to for years will say that this people tend to be born and die on like holidays or birthdays of family members a lot of times. Like it sort of seems like they're kind, it's almost like, I don't know, they're like nodding to the family or something. I don't know. It just seems like there's like a point to it.
It just, to me, it sounds like these people have a sex schedule. An annual sex routine.
Yeah. I have sex. Like my forefathers had sex.
It's genetic.
Yeah.
Well, so what would you do?
We know our friend Jess Eason only has sex with her husband once a year, and it happens to be
ten months before the date
of her two sons' birth. What's the question?
How would you handle the birthday?
Just let them celebrate it on the same day. I think, especially if you only had two kids, I think they'd just be like, yeah, this is birthday day. Every year we have birthday day.
Yes. I do think I had the same reaction. I'm like, it'd be great if Brandon and Maeve have the same birthday because then they don't have to fight over.
Yeah, because right at this age, they're always mad at each other that it's not their birthday.
Yeah. Bryn, I guess they was very good.
He was pretty good, but he was like in the following days being like, when is August 18th happening? He's like really ready for his birthday to come. He's
big
like,
time.
So we just did that birthday, right? So mine's got to be coming up soon.
Well, I think though, if they're further apart in age, as kids get older, like I don't want my 13-year-old to have to share the same birthday as an 8-year-old.
But I think
something.
Once they're older and they understand that the day is less important, like you could just give them individual birthday parties on different days. Like it's not going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
But when they're young and they're dumb, they can share a birthday party.
They'll probably think that everyone has the same birthday. Dumb idiots.
They're so dumb.
They're getting less dumb. That scares me.
It's true. Our son is learning the days of the year in a way that...
He's obsessed with calendars. Yeah. You'll bring something up. They're like, hey, remember when we saw your aunt?
Yeah, and he's like, you mean on Thursday
he's
when
like,
we
that
went
Thursday.
There?
I was like, that was 4 months ago. He really does connect with it.
Yeah, or something will remind him of like another event. Like I pulled into the gas station the other day because he was mad because we were at the playground having a packed picnic dinner. And then the ice cream truck pulled up and I was going to try to get them something, but I legit did not have enough money, like cash, and it was cash only. So then we're driving home and I was like, okay, fine, I'll give you a treat. And I just was like, I'm going to buy some cheap cookies at the gas station. So I run in and he was like, we were at this gas station once at midnight. And he remembered that my dad was taking him to see my sister for some reason. And was leaving here late at night because I was like, oh, he'll just sleep in the car. It'll be easy for you. But Bryn didn't want to get in the car. So then we went over to the gas station to get gas. And like, I calmed him down with some candy. And he had such a vivid memory of being like, I was here.
Well, of course, because it's the one time his entire life he's been awake at midnight.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't midnight. That was him embellishing the story of him being outside in the dark.
Yeah. That's so funny. But yeah, boy, it's hard to fathom at this point. Sort of like just anything out of the ordinary. Like that was probably the craziest day of his life.
Yeah. It's just funny because it's like, that's gotta be like a year ago. Like that's a while ago.
When he was three, that was 10,000 years ago.
Yeah.
When he was three. That was when we started this podcast.
Yeah. The good old days.
What should we do to celebrate, fans?
I already said, get a cake.
No, well, I'm in terms of the show. Next week will be our 1 year anniversary show. Should we do something for it? Send us an email. What do you not know? What should
Send
we
us
do?
Your
How do we reflect?
Questions, applause.
Yeah, somebody do my job for me and tell me what the episode is next week. I look forward to your emails. WeKnowsPod@gmail.com.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I think my battery's dead.
With free battery testing and charging, we can help you get back on the road.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
So what if I need a new one?
We have the right Duralast battery for you. Only at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
And what about my old battery?
We can recycle it right here at America's number one battery destination.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique two-in-one product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula: berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just two capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This next segment is called Listeners Want to Knows. It's where we take some questions and comments from you guys.
They do. They want to knows. Beth, we have an email here from regular contributor to the show, Sarah, and her daughter, Elizabeth. So we, last week, asked, I don't know if this was last week or the week before, we asked for people to send in Easter Bunny origin stories.
You asked for people to send in Easter
Bunny. We discussed it, and Beth was like, great idea, go for it. I can't wait for you to do that. And we got this one, and I liked it. Hello, Sarah and Elizabeth here. First, had a great time at your live show. It was far away and the highlight of my week. Worth the drive to and from Brooklyn, 1,000%.
Do you hear that, listeners? Worth the drive.
Worth the drive. Elizabeth heard your challenge to provide a backstory for the Easter Bunny on this week's episode, and we immediately stopped listening to write a backstory. Here is the Easter Bunny's backstory. According to Elizabeth, I have typed it verbatim from her direction. Again, Elizabeth is a child. The Easter Bunny was an ordinary bunny that lived on a farm with a bunch of other bunnies. The Easter Bunny's name was Jack. At the time, he was not called the Easter Bunny. Jack had a friend named Todd, and he had another friend, Stephen. One day, the Easter Bunny was made king of all the bunnies by all the other bunnies when he was 37 years old. Because he was kind, one day, the Easter Bunny drank a potion that made him poop out Easter eggs. He did not know he pooped out eggs until he pooped out an egg. At first, the Easter Bunny did not know why, but then he remembered the potion he had drank, and it said, "Poop out colorful eggs." The Easter Bunny was named the Easter Bunny because the bunnies wanted a holiday named Easter, and he was a bunny. And that's where the people got the holiday Easter from. One day, the people of the town, of the farm, the Easter Bunny lived on, wanted a new holiday. They said they wanted to make a holiday called Easter because they wanted to use the Easter Bunny for something good and not just let him be pooping out eggs for nothing. They did not know what potion he drank to poop out eggs, but they did know that Jack drank a potion to do it. They would use the Easter Bunny to hide eggs from them. They named the holiday Easter after the Easter Bunny. Ever since then, the Easter Bunny has hid his eggs on Easter morning. The Easter Bunny had help from the other bunnies making the Easter eggs, since they were not enough if he just pooped them out and didn't have any help from the other bunnies. The Easter Bunny is a ghost now. He died 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Easter Bunny's backstory.
It's sort of like a biting satire of late capitalism. You know, you start out pooping eggs, and next thing you know, you're doing branded content for a holiday named after yourself.
Yeah, and then after you're dead, they're still bandying your name around.
Yeah, I'm a ghost. Don't use my image in commercials, okay?
I just loved how many times Elizabeth said the word poop. And the real curveball that the Easter Bunny is a ghost now. I like that it's not the Easter Bunny died 20 years ago. It's the first mention of death is now the Easter Bunny is a ghost.
I actually saw that twist coming.
You would. I have to add this last part just because you'll see. Not to be outdone, my 5-year-old son, Jonathan, heard us. And he also wanted to give you a backstory. It's a little shorter. Please, okay. The Easter Bunny has a name. His name is Jame. He liked to hide some Easter eggs on Easter, and he gets his Easter eggs from his Easter egg basket. The end.
Good work.
Feels great. Jame. Not Jane. Not James. Jame.
Are you sure it's not a typo?
She literally wrote, "This is not a typo." I didn't read that part.
Oh.
So we got it right.
Cool.
Sarah, as always,
thank you.
Elizabeth, you're killing it.
Jame, thank you.
It's Jonathan, but his character's name is Jame. And Jame the Easter Bunny, you're killing it. Keep pooping out those eggs, you dead bunny.
This has been We Know's Parenting. If you would like to submit a question, share a story, or ask us a parenting hypothetical, you can email us at weknowspod@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 347-384-7396.
Hey, if you like this show, maybe tell other people about it. You can do that by subscribing, rating and reviewing podcast on whatever platform you're listening. You can find us on social media, Twitter, Instagram, @weknowspod. Boy, oh boy. Or go to weknowsparenting.com for merch and other information. And next week, it's 1-year anniversary, baby!
Get ready. We have nothing planned.
See ya! Bye!
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of 2 clinically studied ingredients in 1 revolutionary formula: berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Since every minute counts when you're a new parent, who wants to waste time washing bottles? Transform this daily chore with the Baby Brezza Bottle Washer Pro, the first machine that automatically washes, sterilizes, and dries bottles, pump parts, and sippy cups at the push of a button. Its 20 spray jets clean everything 100%. Plus, it sterilizes with steam, then dries with germ-free air. Don't waste time on tedious hand washing. Let the Baby Brezza Bottle Washer Pro do it for you. Shop now at babybrezza.com.